Well, on behalf of Independence Baptist Church, let me welcome you back to our weekly radio broadcast. Now, for the last several weeks, we've been going over Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And this message from Jesus has several different points, and Pastor Reynolds has been going through those, outlining several of those key points. For example, in one message, we talked about how people should be able to see God in our lives. We talked about the salt, and that we're the salt of the earth. We also spent last week talking about the spiritual standards of God. You know, and in all honesty, we found that usually God's standards are a little higher than we even like to think they are. And today, Pastor Reynolds will be talking about how Jesus taught it wasn't just murder that God had issues with, but it was unwarranted anger. And part of the theme with these spiritual standards is that it's not just our outward action that God judges, but he actually looks and judges the heart. So without any further delay, here is Pastor Reynolds as he continues sharing with us the very words of Jesus Christ.
Last Sunday morning, we began to bring a message concerning spiritual standards from the book of Matthew 5, verse 21 through verse 26. This morning, we want to continue in this same message on spiritual standards. Notice, the book of Matthew 5, verse 21 through verse 26 states, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the utmost farthing." From this passage, we learn some very, very important thing. That is, number one, that in order to worship God acceptably, we must do justice to our fellow men. Actually, if we do not do justice to our fellow men, we cannot worship God. Number two, our worship will not be acceptable unless we do all we can to live peaceably with others. Number three, it is our duty to seek reconciliation with others when we have injured them. Number four, this must be done before we attempt to worship God. Number five, this is often the reason why God does not accept our offerings, and we go away empty from our devotions. We do not do what we ought to do to others. We cherish improper feelings or refuse to make proper acknowledgments, and God will not accept any attempt on our part to worship him. Men say that there is but one crime that is a violation of the sixth commandment. Actually, they say it's murder or willful, unlawful taking of life. But Jesus Christ says that the commandment is much broader than that. Jesus Christ says that the command relates not only to the external act, but to the feelings and the words that provoke that act. In verse 22, Jesus Christ specifies three forms of each violation. Number one is unjust anger. Number two is anger accompanied with an expression of contempt. Number three is anger with an expression not only of contempt, but also of wickedness. You see, not only should murder be punished by God, but anger and contempt as well is regarded by him as a violation of the law, because one thing leads to another. As these offenses were not actually recognized, because men do not recognize the anger that's in the person's heart, Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ means that anger and contempt, which leads to murder, will be judged by God. And all of these expressions relate to degrees of punishment proportionate to crime in the future world, the world of justice and of woe. This is why it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In these verses, Christ is not speaking about others. He is speaking personally, not collectively. Thus, it is wrong to go to somebody and say they cannot worship God because they have said or done something that you are thinking about. We cannot control any person, and we should never try to control other people with this kind of thinking. We have enough trouble controlling ourselves and what we think without trying to control anybody else. Satan, however, will very clearly try to get you to thinking about the imperfections of others when you worship God. There is enough imperfections, right? We all have imperfections. But the scripture here is personal, and we should take it very personally, not collectively. Jesus Christ wants his hearers to think of themselves, not to think of others. In verse 24, the Bible says, "Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Jesus Christ is here stating that we are not to wait for the offended brother to come to us. Jesus Christ is saying it is our place to go to the offended brother and seek him out and be reconciled. If we do not do what God said, our worship of God will not be acceptable, however well performed externally. You see, until we are at peace with those that we have offended, we cannot worship God. This is why that 1 Samuel 15:22 states, "To obey is better than sacrifice." He that comes to worship his master, filled with malice, hatred, envy, and at war with his brethren, is a hypocritical worshiper and must meet with God's displeasure. Know of a certainty, God is not deceived. He will not be mocked. God sees our heart. God knows us very well. We need to be reconciled to our brothers and sisters in Christ first. This means to settle the difficulty, to make proper acknowledgement or satisfaction for the injury. If we have wronged anyone, we need to make restitution. If we owe them a debt which we ought to pay, then pay it. If we have injured his character, then confess it and seek pardon. If he is under an erroneous impression, if your conduct has been such as to lead him to suspect that you have injured him, make an apology. Do all in your power and all you ought to do to have this matter forever settled. What Christ is saying is that if you know you have said or did anything that brings rebuke upon your worship of God, this must be fixed before you can correctly worship God. And it must be fixed quickly before the person you have offended tells it to somebody else. Verse 26 says this, "Verily I say unto you, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the utmost farthing." This verse tells us that the price must be paid. It is very possible for all sorts of offenses to be corrected. But this is the hope expressed in verse 26. Yet the penalty we pay for offending people, even fellow believers, is very high. The expression, to the utmost farthing, correctly tells us the price we will pay for going ahead with our worship of God and forgetting about fellow worshipers. This farthing is approximately 2 mites, which is exactly what the poor widow gave in Mark 12, verse 41 through verse 44. This expression typifies exactly what it will cost us. Everything. We need to fix it, and fix it quickly. What hinders us, though, from asking forgiveness from those we have offended? What hinders us? What stands in our way? The ultimate answer is pride. We might say, well, they should not have gotten offended by me. After all, they ought to know me. Well, that is pride on our part. What is pride? It is when we think we're better than anybody else. Look with me in the book of Proverbs 6, verse 16 and verse 17. This verse states, these 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that have devised wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Notice in this place, it is bad enough that the Lord hates some things, but this is not a list of the things God hates. It is a list of things that are an abomination to God. There is a difference between things God hates and things God thinks are an abomination. When God hates something, this simply means that things are against God. But when things are an abomination to God, that means that they're disgusting to him. Notice also that there is a difference between the words like and love. There's a difference between hate and despise as well. Notice that a proud look is the first on the list of the things God considers to be an abomination. Right under a proud look is a lying tongue, and then a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, and it goes on and on from there. Listen, pride will destroy us. Don't let pride hinder you, but be faithful unto Almighty God, and recognize this very vital truth, that in order to be right before God, we must be right with our fellow man. Notice those 2 things. They go together.
Are you at peace with those that you've offended? You know, we often think we can worship God and at the same time hold that deep, bitter anger in our hearts toward others. But, you know, Jesus told us that we need to be reconciled with our brothers. Otherwise, he may not accept our sacrifices. You know, and this is not an easy thing to do, but if our desire is to serve the Lord, then we need to do what he says. And part of what he says to do is to right our wrongs with others. We have to swallow our pride and right the wrongs that we've done to our brother before the Lord accepts the sacrifices that we bring to him. Well, as we start to wind down this morning, I want to once again invite you to our services this morning. We'll be meeting at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, then 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 worship services. Now, during the week, we'll also be coming together on Wednesday night at 7. So if you've never been to our building, you can come and meet us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. And for more information about our church, you can log on to our website at independencebaptist.org. And from there, you'll be able to review our statement of faith, listen to prior radio broadcasts, and download many different books and articles. Now, as we close, let us thank you again for listening and remind you to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.